Good evening. Good to see everyone that's here with us tonight. Tonight we're going to be continuing our study in Matthew chapter 5, looking at the Beatitudes. You know, as we said before, and these Beatitudes, there's eight of them, and really they're grouped into two groups. The first four really tell us how we can have a relationship with God that we ought to have, how we can build that relationship with God. The first four lead to salvation, and then the rest of the Beatitudes deal with how we live as Christians. And so the first Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, there it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We know the poor in spirit is to be poor, means to be without. The poor in spirit are without pride and arrogance, therefore they're humble. They can be taught by God's will. And then he goes on to say, so he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know, these are people who can grieve for their sin, and therefore they will turn away from their sin. This is called repentance. They have that godly sorrow that leads to repentance. And so he says, "Blessed are the poor, or they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we come to the third beatitude. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And so what does it mean to be meek? The world has a lot of ideas about what meekness is. You know, it rhymes with weakness, and so therefore sometimes people will equate the two. It does not mean weakness. It does not mean being timid or easily moved or being spineless. It doesn't mean, you know, that we're seeking peace at any price. It doesn't mean having some kind of inferiority complex, being shy and backwards. You know, that's the world's idea of what meek is. You know, back around the turn of the 20th century, you know, there was a cartoon strip, I think it was in the New Yorker magazine, about a fellow by the name of Casper Milquetoast. And that name Milquetoast has become a word of itself. It means someone that is timid, someone that is weak, someone that feels inferior to others. You know, Casper Milquetoast, according to A.T. Webster, who was the cartoonist that drew his cartoon, said he was a person that, rather than walking softly and carrying a big stick, he walked softly and got hit with a big stick. And so that's the idea of what people think meekness is. They think a meek person is a do-nothing coward. But also we need to understand, you know, that some people have the idea that meekness is humility, and it is. But it is a genuine humility. It is not a false humility. It's not a hypocritical humility. You know, you don't portray the idea of, "Well, look how humble I am." That's not what meekness is. And so what does meek describe? You know, it's used the word to describe a horse that was broken to the harness. A horse that once was wild but has become obedient to the bit and bridle. You know, when our kids were little, we used to go out to that 1855 Missouri town, and they would have different reenactment festivals, and they had an ox there named Moses. I think he was like 20-something years old. He was a brown Swiss ox, and a brown Swiss is a gigantic animal, probably weighed about 2,500 pounds, and it could be led, you know, very easily, very gently. It was very meek. It had enough power, enough strength to pull down a house if it wanted to. It had enough strength to trample somebody to death without even any trouble at all, yet it was meek, he was mild, he was easy to lead about. It's like that horse or that ox that has been broken, not broken in spirit, but just yielded, you might say. Really, the idea, it means to yield to God. You know, meekness is the opposite of being self-willed. It's the opposite of having an ill will towards our fellow man. Meekness is the opposite of being stubborn. Meekness is power that is under control. Again, it's like that bit that's in the horse's mouth, or that ring that's in the ox's nose. That it allows it to be controlled. It allows itself to be controlled. A meek person willingly submits to God's directions. Meekness demands great inner strength. You know, meekness really is power under control. If there is no potential for power, there is no strength, there cannot be any meekness. If there's not strength, if there's not someone who has got a spine, someone who's got a backbone, if there's not someone who has power, they can't be meek. And so meekness is not the absence of these things. Meekness is the willing submission of these things to the control of God and His will. And so the meek person is a man who is under control, who is self-controlled, not just self-controlled, but allowing rather God to control our feelings and our behavior. It is strength that is really under godly control. It's not a lack of emotion or passion. It is a proper and wise use of these things. And so meekness, without being meek, we will not submit to God's will. You think about Naaman the leper, for instance, comes to mind. Remember, God's will was go down and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. And he said, oh no, I won't do that. That's muddy water. I've got better water back home. I didn't have to travel all this way if all I had to do was go dip myself in the water. You know, his pride wouldn't let him do it until someone reminded him. Well, he said, do some great thing, you would have done that. Why not do something simple? But it's the willing submission to God and His will. You know, you think about meekness, some of the greatest men that have ever lived are among the meekest men. Moses, for instance, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. You know, this was a man that in his younger days, he was powerful enough to stand up and kill an Egyptian who was beating one of the Hebrew servants. He was a man that had some strength. He had some power. He had a position. He had a place in Pharaoh's household. And yet he was a meek man later on in life. You know, he was a strong man and had enough backbone to years later to go before Pharaoh as a representative of God to lead Israel out of bondage, showing great courage and great leadership. And so this clearly shows that meekness is not weakness. No one would say that Moses was a weak man. He was a meek man, but not a weak man. You know, he submitted to God's message without murmuring for the most part. His strength was under God's control. Another great example is David. You know, he has more to say about meekness than any other writer in the Old Testament. Psalms 37 verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And so he says almost the same thing that Jesus here says. You think about David and we talked about it in Bible class this morning. How many opportunities did David have to take revenge on those that mistreated him, those that persecuted him, Saul, and others, that he had the opportunity, he had the strength, he had the power, he had the opportunity to punish them for what they were doing to him. And what did he do? Every time he did not do it. We see that again. He recognized that if he raised his hand and if he did anything to Saul, he would be raising his hands against the one that God anointed. He would not do that. We see again that meekness, that understanding that it was not his place to lift his hand against God's anointed. And so David is a great example of meekness. Now what about Jesus? Now one of my favorite songs in any songbook is, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done that rather than go to the cross. But Jesus, as he said in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus is the epitome of meekness. And so we see these great men, Moses and David, and especially Jesus, and they're characterized by their meekness. You know, meekness is to be like Christ. You know, it's not self-seeking, but self-giving. It's not self-willed, but God-willed. It's not self-glorification, but self-humiliation. It's not compromise with evil, but it's overcoming evil with good. It's not cowardice, but it is courage. It is moral courage. It is the willingness to stand up and do what's right. It is weakness, but also strength. It's that weakness that finds strength in God, that finds strength in yielding to God. You know, those who are meek are the ones who belong to Christ. They strive to pattern their lives after His example. Again, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." You know, how did Jesus show His meekness? You know, to the fallen, He was not harsh but gentle. You think about the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8, beginning there in verse 7. It says, "So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said to them, 'He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her.' And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and when they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted Himself, He saw none but the woman, and said unto her, 'Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?' She said, 'No man, Lord.' And Jesus said unto her, 'Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.'" You know, Jesus was well within His rights as the Son of God, as God Himself, the author of the law of Moses, which demanded death to the adulteress. He could have struck her dead on the spot. He did not do so. He was not harsh, but He was gentle. He said, "Go and sin no more." You know, He was not a spineless man. He was a courageous leader. John chapter 2, verse 14. Remember, He comes there into the temple, and He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money and overthrew the tables. Now, this is not some milquetoast person here. This is someone who is filled with the zeal of God and recognizing that what was going on was wrong. That they made His Father's house a house of merchandise. And so in His righteous anger, His righteous indignation, He turns those tables over. He rebukes them for their sin. You know, He suffered much wrong also. But He did no wrong. He was not vengeful, but rather He was forgiving. You know, there on the cross of the very men that are nailing Him to the cross, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His raiment and cast lots in Luke 23 and verse 34. He yielded to the divine will, though it led to His crucifixion. Matthew 26 and verse 39, there as He prays in the garden, says He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." A very human moment, overcome with the emotion of the time. He says, "Let this pass from me. Let there be some other way," knowing there was no other way. And He yielded His will to the will of the Father. That is meekness. We need to learn to be like Christ. You know, meekness is something that can be learned. You know, some have the mistaken view that some people are just meek and that's just the way they are, and others are not. God commands each of us to be meek. So therefore, it is a quality that can be acquired. It is something that we can learn. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, notice that Paul says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." To put something on, it means that something we don't have. We're to put it on. And so we are to embrace meekness. If we're not meek now, we need to become meek. We need to learn meekness. We see the value of meekness also. In James chapter 1, verses 19 and following, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." You know, the person that is self-willed, that's the opposite of meek. You know, they are enslaved to their emotions. Quick to wrath, quick to speak in anger. That is not meek. We are commanded to be slow to wrath. You know, we cannot say and try to justify ourselves, "Well, I was just born with a hot temper." You know, that's not an excuse. Meekness is a quality that, with the Lord's help, we can develop in our lives. You know, notice that there again in verse 21, he says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Again, in order to have that word to have effect in our life, it has to be received with meekness. Without such, we cannot, our souls are not going to be saved. We're going to be lost. And so we see the value of meekness. It is only through meekness that we can receive that word which is able to save our souls. And so blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, what is the blessing for the meek? Jesus says, they shall inherit the earth. You know, this has a spiritual meaning. It is not a literal meaning. There are some that try to make this literal, that they will inherit the literal earth. I'm not talking about that. It's a spiritual promise. You know, the meek will get much more out of life while they live on this earth. Psalm 37 verse 16. There says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many weakness or many wicked." A meek man derives greater joy from a simple meal in a humble cottage than a proud man from the finest foods in a stately mansion. Meekness gives us the capacity to enjoy the things of God. A haughty or covetous man may own many acres of earth, but he does not inherit them, for he is greedy and selfish. The man of meekness is happier. Real enjoyment of earthly blessings can come only to those who are meek. You know, as a Christian, you know, a Christian has the abundant life here, and we're talking in a spiritual way. Again, it's not because you become a Christian, you're going to have an abundance of things, of material blessings. For some, that is the case, but not just because they're a Christian. But because we're a Christian, we're going to receive great spiritual blessings. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And so the key to a better life of the here and now is to be meek and to be satisfied with the things that we have. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. You know, after Peter says, you know, we've forsaken all, what happens to us? And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands and with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. So, you think, as a child of God, you think about every child of God is my brother or my sister. All over the world, I've got hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of brothers and sisters. We have the best life in this world if we're humble enough and willing enough and meek enough to accept and to be satisfied. You know, folks who cannot control themselves, though, are never satisfied. But as a child of God, we can have the best of both worlds, the great spiritual blessings in this life and those eternal blessings in the life that is to come. You know, meekness really is the secret to possessing everything. You know, as a meek person, you understand what life on this earth is all about. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content, being meek and accepting God's will. You have a calmness. You're not shaken by or excited by external circumstances. Because you know that God is in control. There is that mildness. You can avoid extreme reactions and behavior. A meek person is mild and approachable, bringing comfort, calmness, and peace to those around him. And so blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The great spiritual blessings that are available to us as a child of God are available to the meek, the one who submits to the will of God, who does God's will. So as we bring these first three Beatitudes together, blessed are the poor in spirits. You know, we must lay down human wisdom and accept the divine revelation. You know, man scoffs at God's wisdom, but God scoffs at man's wisdom. The one who is poor in spirit is willing to accept and recognize that they are lost. Recognize their need for God. Humility is the key to that first beatitude. We must humble ourselves and accept God on His terms. Blessed are they that mourn, the person that recognizes their sin. And they're brought to a point of godly sorrow, which brings them to a point of repentance. They're filled with sorrow. They recognize their own guiltiness of sin and the sorrow that comes with it, which leads to repentance with a change of mind because God's message, and it brings a change of life. People that can mourn for their sins are the ones that will be comforted with forgiveness. You know, the only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin for which we will not repent, for the sin for which we harden our hearts. Godly sorrow causes mourning. Repentance and salvation brings comfort. And then blessed are the meek, not the weak, not the spineless, but the one who places themselves under God's control. If we have meekness, then we can have a proper reception of God's Word. Again, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. The meek inherit the earth, the blessings, the spiritual blessings, both now and in the world to come. And so, The poor in spirit recognize their lost state and their need for God. Those that mourn for sin, they have that godly sorrow. They recognize the price that was paid for their sin, that Christ had to die on the cross for their sins. Thinking about Christ on the cross always brings me sorrow that it was my sin that put him there. The meek is the one who will then humble themselves and submit to God's will. And then that leads to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We urge you today, if you are one who recognizes your need for God, but you have not repented of your sins, you've not submitted yourself to the will of God, we urge you tonight to do so, to put on Christ in baptism, to yield to His will. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Live a life faithfully dedicated to God. Father, we ask you today, if you are not a child of God, or if you're not a faithful Christian right now, would you please come forward? Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Make your desire to repent known. Receive our prayer and our help. We can do anything for you this evening to help you to respond to the Lord's invitation. Would you please come forward to the front row as we stand and as we sing.